With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A happy Halloween weekend to all of you. Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Joining me today is Yasmin. Happy Halloween. How are you?
Yes, happy Halloween. they could probably see our backgrounds.
Yeah.
Halloween themed backgrounds. I am what we thought was Delano Banton, but what we found out was Sam Decker. So I should insert the picture of him like taking a selfie like in the octopus costume with his drink, because I found that hilarious. Exactly. Like insulated in his own world there. And yeah, we have you as well.
Yep, I got me Scotty here. He went, I guess that's Joker. This is from Delano Banton's IG stories, and I screenshotted this particular moment. I mean, a picture worth 1,000 words right there. That's very much Scotty right there in a lot of different ways. So they had their Halloween party already. I guess a little bit early on, but they got games. They got a busy weekend, right? Games tonight, tomorrow, Sunday off, and then the Knicks on Monday. But today we are going to talk about the Raptors point guard situation, and specifically a little bit of Fred VanVleet, because I don't know. I find that he gets a lot of, you know what, from people for being, well, I mean, everything that he's not. And I feel like sometimes people kind of forget what he is. But to start, Yasmin, thus far, I mean, we kind of know the situation with Fred, you know, no Kyle. He's taken a lot more responsibilities on and off the court so far. And I know we're very early on to this, but has he kind of exceeded, or is he below the expectations in terms of his performance?
He's been, I think, like the best version of Fred that we've seen, which is great. But it's still gonna lack what we kind of have always wanted but never quite seen from Fred, which is like just being like the traditional of point guards. But I think we can kind of accept that that's not what he's gonna be. He's going to be a scorer, which he's capable of. His playmaking has definitely taken a leap. He's still not, you know, the pick and roll maestro. We wanted him to like become Kyle, but I don't think that's possible. But he's been like the very best version of Fred, which is a compliment to him. Like he's just been doing everything that his shooting has come back the last game where he was just lights out. That was the only thing that was kind of iffy to start the season, but obviously that was going to come out. He's a pretty excellent shooter. His passing has come a long way. Like I think he's getting really good at getting right into sets, and I don't always expect disaster when he's handling the ball, which means he's made some strides in that sense. But yeah, I think that's the thing. Like he's not going to be outside of his identity. I think he's kind of rounding out into who he is as a player. We know that point guards take a little longer to round out than other players. They tend to come around in their late 20s, and seeing his trajectory, it's pretty exciting seeing what he's putting together and how much of a threat he's become, and from the perimeter, and how his mid-range game has come along, because it's kind of opened up the basket for him and has made layups that used to get swatted. They still get swatted, but they do go in more often, which is great.
Yeah, he's still getting blocked at the rim. And I think that's an ongoing issue that people have with him, that he, you know, he goes in there shoulder first. I remember Serge Ibaka with that slam interview that that they did a couple of years ago. And he's like,
big dog.
You know, Freddie comes in. Yeah, big dog, shoulder in. He does that. But unfortunately, there's bigger dogs who end up blocking his shot. He got really, really blocked by Miles Turner the other day. I mean, this is kind of like, I find with him that because he's taking over for Kyle Lowry, and people maybe not realizing it sometimes that they're making that direct comparison. And again, with Kyle, like, I mean, Fred was underneath him for a few years now. The student has sort of become the teacher in some ways. And now he's taking on these more responsibilities that he just hasn't, he's got to hone a little bit. And early on in this season, the ball's in his hands a lot. Like, he has the ball in his hands more so than I thought he probably would, obviously, because Pascal Siakam isn't around. That's a huge factor. I mean, Fred, I think he's made a lot of strides this season. And you mentioned the passing that we've seen so far. It has gotten a lot better. Yes, it's been associated with a lot of turnovers, and that's, you know, that could be just a product of all the new players that are coming in and all the rookies that he's playing with. It's a very different team. And as exciting as it is, it's taking someone on the court to take on the responsibilities of, you know, possession by possession on offense and defense, guiding them and leading them. And we had thought that maybe Goran Dragic would be doing that. And we're going to get to him in a second, but that has not been the case. We thought he could be a release valve for Fred, you know, get his minutes down to that 35 minute range. And that has not been the case. It's been another player that's helped him do that. But all these things, like, and we're only a few games into the season, but Fred's adjusting to all this, right? And I think people just got to cut him a little bit of slack because there is so much change happening for him. And regardless of that, man, like, right now he's fifth in assists. He's sixth in transition possessions, fourth in drives. He's second in miles ran per game, which is a staple of what he does. Actually,
that checks out.
Yeah, he was kind of up there last season too, but he's like straight up pedal to the metal, and he's helping you win on both ends of the court. And I don't know if the people acknowledge how rare it is that you have a player who impacts the game at the point guard position the amount of ways that Fred does, you know?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I think that the like you said, the increased burden on him offensively has been because of Dragic not panning out in the first several games. And I don't know. I'm actually less sure about him receiving another opportunity than I am with Malachi, because I feel like, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I feel like he just looks so slow on defense already, which is what we expected. But also getting into offensive sets takes so long with Dragic. I don't know if that's always been his style. I haven't watched the Heat like that. Like, I knew what he was capable of and with any of his signature moves, but I didn't know it took him so long to get into these sets. I'm so used to seeing Lowry like gesturing to, you know, pass him the ball after a basket made and just running to the other end and immediately getting into the next offensive set. But Dragic takes his time, and then by the time he starts, the other team's already in their set defense. So it takes, you know, it's just not the way the Raptors play at all. Like, the Raptors are high speed. If they're doing half court sets, it's going to be fast, but they're the bulk of their points. They want to get through transition, through their defense feeding transition points, but they haven't been able to do that. That's just not been, he hasn't been able to kind of keep up that philosophy. Yeah. Whereas you get like a Delano who's, you know, immediately catching up. And I don't know if it's because he's younger and he's just able to, or if he's quicker, but, you know, it's been a different story with him.
I want to get back to the Dragic and Banton thing in a second, but on Fred for one more quick second, because a lot of people have said that he is a shooting guard and not a point guard. And he actually acknowledged that the other day. He said that now people don't think I'm a point guard anymore because he was told to shoot a lot when he entered the NBA. And he was talking about Delano Banton kind of taking on what his role is going to be in whatever case it is. Like, you just have to come into the league and do what you're told, sort of. And Fred's like, I came into the league and I was told that, hey, you got to learn how to shoot. You got to be very, very good at it, become prolific at it. He's like, all right, cool. I will do that for you. And then it turned out that he became so good that he ended up, you know, being shooting guard, and that he was so valuable that he got to a point where, you know, 2019 NBA Finals, he's subbing in the game as shooting guard for Danny Green in the second half of game because they just needed him on the court. That's how valuable he is. They just needed him. It didn't matter if that he's, you know, 6 feet tall or whatever it is, that they just needed him because he plays so much bigger than he actually is. And so now I think about the point guard position now compared to like 10 years ago. And it's kind of such a gray area with so many positions. And I think the point guard position is kind of becoming that as well, that any player who's able to work in the pick and roll, who can kind of handle the ball, who has obviously some shooting ability, is kind of the point guard, you know, not to compare to LeBron James, but like, LeBron is obviously a point guard, right? That's what he kind of does, but he's technically a small forward. And I think with Fred, his shooting ability and his ability to get to the rim, although, you know, I guess I'll put it this way, his ability to get into the paint and feed it out to three-point shooters on all ends of the court kind of makes him a point guard by default, because he's has the responsibility and he's doing it. But I find that people think that because he's just such a good shooter and that he is so good off the ball, right? He's such a good off ball cutter, off ball mover. Like I've always talked about like those three like little mill steps left or right that create a passing lane for someone else. And he's amazing at it. Right. And people just kind of associate that saying, all right, well, because he can do that, he's probably better off the ball. Like, no, he can pass the ball. Like he's been doing that in college. He did that in the G League. He did that early on in his career with the bench mob. And then because Kyle Lowry was there, he was like, no, you're going to play shooting guard. That was Nick Nurse. Like, you're going to play shooting guard instead. But now he's back to being a point guard. And that is his position, people.
Yeah.
He is a point guard. He is not a shooting guard.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of what people are. I think his best moments have come as shooting guard for the Raptor fans. Like the most signature Fred moments we envision tend to be like those games where he's just like flashing that off ball movement, coming out of nowhere, taking those deep threes and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's what people think of when they think of Fred. They think of his best moments, but he's capable of both, honestly. I think the fact that he's like such a good shooter in that sense almost like works against him with that point guard identity, because he is someone who believes in himself as a point guard. Like he's insistent on it. He wants the ball. He wants to handle the ball. So I'm interested to see how it pans out when Siakam gets back to the team. So who takes on those lead ball handling duties? Do we see Siakam play point forward? Does Fred go off ball a little more? I'm interested to see how the lineup changes and how the change in dynamics is going to affect Fred's play.
And it's going to be a lot of changes, that's for sure. You got two players coming into your rotation. And players. Yeah, exactly. And Utah, he's valuable with what they're trying to do. He is extremely valuable, more so than he has been at any point in his NBA career, no doubt. And I mean, now the rotation is going to get very, very messy. Messy in a good way, because you're going to be able to, you're going to put like your best nine players or 10, if Nick decides to go that route. But you're going to have a pretty damn good top 10. And after that, there's going to be a lot of players who probably should be playing, you know, and on most NBA teams, they would be playing, but they're not going to be playing. Not for the Toronto Raptors, not for this year's team. So it's kind of sad. I guess it's kind of a good segue into Goran Dragic, because exactly. Right. He's yawning us through every single time he plays. He's sleepwalking. It feels like he's not keeping up with the pace, and it's a problem for the Raptors. So what were your thoughts when you saw that he didn't play, and also that Banton actually took those minutes?
I thought it was hilarious, especially after he had that clip of his veteran speech to the bench people, the bench crew, and they were kind of just rolling their eyes. And
you see Ken Burch?
Yeah.
Ken Burch is like,
was straight up like, what the heck? Like, who is this guy? The next day you get a DMP, like that's just, I think Nurse does not care.
He
doesn't care if you're a vet, like you're not Lowry. He's not going to keep you in. But yeah, that whole situation panned out really it was funny. And especially since in the post game, he was like, you guys should be asking me about Batten. And Delano plays the next game. and is amazing. So yeah. That's tough for Malachi and for Dragic, for Delano being so good. And that's the thing, like people have to realize, and I saw a couple of scouts discussing it the other day. I think it was Hollinger who discussed it, but Delano, the reason why he was so low is because his shooting was a question mark. Like he was a straight up bad shooter, and that is not really, I guess that's, people have been turned off by that for their point guards, especially in the age of Ben Simmons and stuff. So
he scarred Delano everyone,
being like a 23% shooter in college was left him as such a low pick. But people were saying if he came back the next year with a shot, he might have been like lottery material. for the draft. So the Raptors having nabbed him, and if they're able to develop a shot, which looks better already, people are saying that the hitch that he had in college is not as present. That's a really good sign, and he can become a valuable, viable bench creator. So, and what I love about Delano is that he's like a straight up point guard. Like, it's not a loose use of the term for a 6'9" guy, but yeah. He's out there actually doing point guard stuff. He has a great handle. He's definitely pass first. He says that his game is modeled after Rondo. I can kind of see it with the way he plays, and the defense and the speed is, it's kind of ridiculous. I'm interested to see how they can develop it further, definitely. Because they have something special with like such a tall, defensive minded point guard. That's exactly what the Raptors want.
Four strides, two dribbles. As soon as he crosses the half court, that's all he needs to get to the rim. It's crazy how fast he is in the open court. There was that steal against that Gary Trent had against the Pacers, and Delano took the ball down the court. He got an and one, and like, it was like this.
That you I blinked and he was already exactly. done.
And this
it reminds
is
me of like a early like bench mob Siakam, but with a tighter handle.
Yeah,
which is like hard to envision, but like, you know, he has those strides, but the ball isn't like, you know, kind of everywhere. It's like really tucked in while he's like speeding off to the basket.
What I love about the Raptors drafting is that they look at the player for who they are and not what they can't do, because they feel like, you know, we can fix your ailments. We can fix your issues. And you mentioned Ben Simmons. The difference between Ben Simmons and Delano Banton is that he wants to become a better shooter. He's okay with that. He wants to be trained and helped. And we've already seen like the fruits of the labor, right? We talked about the hitch. Obviously it's kind of going away. He hit two threes against the Pacers the other day. I mean, that's terrific, right? And it was the same with Scottie too. Both of them had hitches in college, and now they come to the NBA. They get some help from the Toronto Raptors, nice school with Nick Nurse. And now the hitches are gone. And now look at them. Now all of a sudden they are, in fact, I mean, Scottie was, you know, the fourth overall pick, but Delano Banton, he should have probably been a lot higher in the 2021 draft, because if the hitch is gone, then all of a sudden you have a 6'9" point guard who can like run like the wind, who can pass the ball, who's a pass first point guard. Like, who doesn't want this? And this
who
is
can defend one through five. Like, it's
I know,
unreal.
Like, I don't, it's insane to me. And I wanted to, I'm happy you mentioned that, because I'm thinking about, you know, the Raptors and like why certain players are just not fitting, right? Why isn't Malachi and why isn't Goran Dragic fitting? Because I don't think Dragic is like playing any worse than he has in previous years. Like, this is just the Raptors, like they're playing matchmaker right now. That's what I kind of look at it. And they have they're very picky on who they're going to be bringing in. And it's a very specific player type. And Banton fits that more so than Malachi and Dragic. And I still feel bad for Malachi. I've said it, I think, on every single episode, because I mean, this isn't his fault, but the fact is that he is a liability for what they're trying to do. The reason why Banton is so valuable is that we've seen in the past few games, he can run like the wind. He can, you know, when it comes to switches with bigs and stuff like that, he can hold his own down low and he can grab a rebound for you. And like, they're already one of the worst defensive rebounding teams anyway. So they need more size, if anything, across the board to make sure that they, you know, Sabonis doesn't abuse them down low.
Yeah.
And then also just when it comes to their help defense and deflections, like, they're the best deflections team in the NBA. I wrote it down here. This is actually pretty staggering, is that, they're first in deflections with 23 a game. Second place is 18. And last season's leader, I think, was the Pacers with 16. So it's not that they're just good. They're like amazing at it. And this is all part of what they're trying to do. And Delano Banton, he fits that. His hands are very active. And when, you know, when bigs are spinning around down low and they're, you know, they're getting doubles, because obviously the Raptors have a lot of, you know, the bigs are mismatched a little bit to some degree, you know, Delano comes over, and that is much more of a distraction versus Malachi or Goran Dragic, because they're just not tall enough. Their arms are not long enough. And so when stuff like that is happening, now you're hurting the system. The system isn't going to excel because you have a smaller player out there.
Yeah, and it's more ruthless because they are in a rebuild. Like, people forget how ruthless a rebuild is.
Yeah,
they're trying to find their identity. They're gonna cut out people that don't fit in it. They don't have time to like. They want to set their team. They want to set their identity, and then they want to move forward with, you know, winning basketball games. So, it's that's the ruthless aspect of the rebuild or the retool, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. there was a possession against the Pacers where I think it was Sabonis and Delano, and Sabonis and Delano, like, and he got matched with them. Unfortunately, that's just sort of how it is with when it comes to switching. And he held his own, and he actually grabbed the board from Sabonis, and then all of a sudden he's running down the court, right? And he found Chris Boucher, and Chris didn't get a bucket out of it. But it's stuff like that you can't really compare him to a Dragic or Flinder. You can't compare those guys to him because they just can't do it. And this is all part of the system. And I'm reiterating this again and again, but I'm just saying, like, it's not those guys necessarily, it's the system. And the Raptors' needs are very, very specific. Yuta Watanabe is more valuable on the Raptors than he is on any other team. And it's not just because of, you know, the chaos that he causes on the defensive end, you know, how active he is. It seems like perhaps he's going to be a better 3-point shooter this year. It's because of his physical tools. He can cut, he can guard multiple positions. He's very active on the defensive end, and he can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Those things, that's all the Raptors want from pretty much every single player. And obviously some one-on-one ability is going to help. And my God, they need Pascal Siakam back, because it's getting ugly out there sometimes. But this is kind of where the Raptors are now, and they're going to be very ruthless with it. I'm curious how Nick handles this, because even like a Svi, right? Do you need Svi? What does the starting lineup look like? Do you start Scotty? Do you not start Scotty? Do you bring in Ken Birch instead of Precious Achiuwa? Because
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Because I think you could maybe suggest that Precious, as good as he is, he's a little bit too unpredictable in some ways, and maybe his skill set is better off of the bench. That's just something that I was thinking about. You know, Kem's a little bit more steady. You kind of know what you're going to get from him. He has a really good rapport with Fred in the pick and roll, probably more so than Precious. That will probably, you know, develop over time, but that's something that I've been thinking about. It's going to be very interesting, because the top 10, it's going to have a lot of size, and it's going to be very, very fun to watch, but some guys who should be playing aren't.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of healthy competition, a lot of upset guys after bad nights. Like, it's going to be, it's going to be tough.
So do you think Malachi should go to the G League?
I think he should. I think he missed that opportunity his first year, which is like what we expected he would be doing. But he didn't get that chance. And I think that the opportunity should be taken this year. It would give him a chance not only to perhaps find a purpose for the team. Like, as we said, that if you don't fulfill those physical tools for the Raptors, there are ways to still be productive. Like, you see what Fred does. You can be become an excellent shooter. You can become an excellent defender. There are things you can do to make yourself more useful to the team. But also, I think it would give him a chance to build up his value as a player. And every team keeps their eye on the Raptors 905 crew, so they know the development is really good here. They take the players as soon as they begin to show any good flashes. So I think it would give Malachi a chance to run an offense and probably be plucked up immediately, because he is a good player. And I think he just needs some time to get his confidence up, because I think that he hesitates a lot, which is not something that he used to do too often in college or even early in the season last year. So I think it would give him a chance to just boost his confidence, to polish himself up, and for another team to probably nab him up real quick. Yeah. Whether it's through trade, like, it would probably be through trade. And I'm not sure. I was about to say maybe Boucher should go to the G League too to build his value, but I'm not sure if that would. I think that would look kind of funny to other teams. But I think that the Raptors had an opportunity to trade a high value Boucher and probably tack on like Malachi, and it would look like a nice package to a lot of teams. But right now, it's like, you don't want that.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting that you're thinking about that, because I mean, you think about the goals for the season and expiring contracts. If things keep on trending, then we're going to get into this in a second, is like how the past few games have kind of changed our opinions on what the Raptors' ceiling is for this particular year. But you could get a very good player If you package, you know, those two guys and the expiring Dragic contract, stuff like that. Now we're talking like, it's not just like a okay package. Like that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. You have a viable backup big, you have a young talent in Malachi, and then you have a vet if you ever need one. And then, yeah, that's a good package to a lot of teams.
Yeah. What stood out about Delano? We kind of touched on it a little bit, but is there anything else that you wanted to discuss about him?
Oh, Delano. No, I think we mentioned everything. I think we literally mentioned everything that he does on the court.
We kind of did, actually.
Yeah.
he's very impressive. I can't believe that.
I gotta say, I'm glad that he's not, someone said that he's a meme player who's actually good. So I'm very glad that he wasn't just ending up as a meme because he's from Toronto and we want to cheer every time he does something. The fact that he's actually good, that's like another, they shouldn't have allowed Delano to be a decent basketball player. Like that is another problem for Raptors fans.
He's got his own brand now too, doesn't he? I think he does.
Yeah, right? I think I saw it in one of the videos that he mentioned, but yeah. The fact that he's actually a good player is dangerous now.
A player that can that is adjusting that quickly to the NBA, who's a very smart passer. He finds, it's kind of similar to Kyle Lowry. Not that I'm comparing them, okay? Not comparing them, but Kyle has this ability to always be able to get the ball to the proper place, regardless of defenders in the way, what kind of, you know, pocket passes. When it comes to stuff like that, he just finds these angles that are very hard to manage. And Delano just keeps on doing that. And I don't know how many times I've seen him just do a bounce pass that gets to a 3-point shooter and it's an easy three for them. And it's only because Delano found that very small space. It's like this big, very small space. And he did it. It was right on the money. It was timed well. And that's not something you can necessarily teach. It's a really hard ability to manage. And you only get that through game reps, right?
We haven't had actually this much like high-end passing on the team since we had both Kyle and Gasol on the team, I think.
Yeah.
Because you have Delano, who's I think a above average passer. You have Scotty, who has like the potential to become one of the greatest passers in the league. And then you have Pascal, who's become an above average passer. And you have Fred, who's improved in that sense. So I think that this team has a lot of ample passing. And then you add OG, who's a great interior passer, Yuta, who's a great passer as well. He always gets the ball moving. I think that there are lineups where everyone on the court can be a plus on offense, capable of doing pretty much a little bit of everything. So those lineups are going to be really fascinating to see when everyone's at full health.
The vision is coming to life.
Besides people laughing somewhere, cackling.
I know. And there are so many people who are doubting Nick Nurse, saying that what is this half court offense? Why are you doing these rotations? Why isn't this guy playing more? And here we are. It took like two games. And now we're like, hold up. I see it now. I see what they're doing.
I think Cleveland fans are experiencing the same thing with those Mobley and Jared Allen lineups actually working.
Yeah,
that's a matchup I cannot wait to see because it's like two different philosophies. The Raptors even had that double big philosophy at one point where they were doing those lineups, and it's working for the Cavs right now. So I can't wait to see the small ball and the double big lineups kind of come to head and find out whether what reigns supreme at the end, which one's a scam.
And maybe neither of them are. Maybe they're both actually just very good solutions. I mean, Bickerstaff, he's doing a great job with that lineup, and it's all about buy-in. You know, how much can you get from your players, and are they willing to sacrifice in their own small ways? Are they going to do that to contribute to winning? And all those guys are adjusting on the fly, and they bought in. And the buy-in is like step one to any successful franchise. And the Raptors have it. And it seems like the Cavs have it too. Crazy to see. The Cavs have been through the mud for many years now since LeBron left. And now it seems like they're
going to welcome him back soon.
Yeah. Imagine that, right?
Mobley's looking really good. They might give it a couple of years. Maybe his last year in the NBA will be back there.
Bronny and LeBron head back to
they'd have to suck for a little bit more then until Bronny is draft age.
Oh, that's true. But you know what? Like LeBron finds ways. We've seen him, right? He always finds ways. Regardless of, we can't even like doubt it. It's just crazy trades have happened. And I feel like in the war rooms, with Pelinka and with Cavs management and with Pat Riley. LeBron was always in there with his laptop making things happen. do this. Let's try it out. Yeah, absolutely. As we're wrapping up the pod, last question for you is, has your ceiling for this year's team changed over the past few games and since their recent play? Because as we're seeing the vision come to life, and as we're seeing, like, their fight game by game has improved. Their offense is making small strides, like very, very, very small, but it is getting better. And then you're about to add two more rotation players who fit the system. What are your thoughts on that?
I will say I was a little low on the team earlier, but after seeing the Eastern Conference play a few games, I'd say that the ceiling has changed. I think before it was, okay, they can probably be a play-in team if they, you know, if all things go right this season. Mm-hmm. The East is just so competitive. But right now, I think that their ceiling could be like a sixth seed or something. Like, they can be in that sixth range. Mm-hmm. And a 3-6 matchup will be like quite interesting in the Eastern Conference, I think. Like, the possibilities of who ends up at that three spot. Yeah. Can be very interesting. But yeah, I think this team, like, when all things are rolling, it just looks like a kind of an what those flashes where everything is going perfectly that we've been seeing the last few games.
Yeah,
it looks like high-end, like, contender basketball. That's what I see. Like, and if they minimize those rookie mistakes, it depends on how much growth we see this season. It depends on the play of the other Eastern Conference teams. But I think that if things go right, this team can be a playoff team. And that, like, they're not going to go far in the playoffs, obviously. Like, I think that there's a cap, obviously, on what happens. Oh, you can sneak into, like, a conference finals. That we've seen that happen. But
yeah,
first round playoff run for a rookie is invaluable. Like, that is so important to their development. We've seen it with, like, 2018 Jason Tatum, having that experience where things are on the line, where you're expected to produce, mm-hmm. where you're expected to, you know, kind of create your legacy, basically. It teaches us a lot about the player. It teaches them a lot about themselves and what they want to be in the NBA. And I think that those kind of things are really important. If we want a superstar, early playoff runs are very important, I think.
No question. And that's kind of where I'm sort of at too, is that, you know, we're through some of the stats that we're seeing them be good at, like they're fourth in drives per game, they're fourth in paint touches, but then they have the third least points in the paint. Right. So they're getting in the lane, but they just can't finish. Right. And then, like, they're the best offensive rebounding team in the NBA, but they're 24th in defensive and rebounding. So, and then their catch and shooting percentage, their pull up percentages, like, all these things they're down. They're around the bottom half of the NBA. So it's a talent thing, and they're just not making the shots, but they're able to get in the lane. They're one of the best transition teams in the NBA. And then right now they're fifth in defensive rating. So the vision is there. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how Pascal and Utah impact those things. I mean, I don't think they're using their post-ups enough personally, because I feel like with Scottie and with Pascal now, and then OG, you have players who are kind of like your stabilizer in your half court a little bit. And Fred kind of mentioned this the other day too, and I agree with him that is, like, kind of like your safety valve. That is, like, your outlet when you have, like, your broken possessions that you just need something. Then, all right, let's give it to those guys. Let's clear it aside and let's give it to them and let's let them operate and let's see what comes from it. And I think they got to just utilize that more. Like, that's your advantage. Your advantage mm-hmm. is that you have players who at some point, you know, on the court, is that there's going to be mismatches between those three guys, between Scottie, OG, and Pascal, and they're going to play a lot together, regardless of if Scottie starts or not. Down the stretch of games, it's going to be those three guys and Fred, and then insert here. So you have to utilize that, because that's your meal ticket, right? That's your advantage. And you don't have a lot of advantages on the offensive end, but that is one. And so I think they got to incorporate that and more into their half court offense. And I'm sure they will once Pascal returns, but I want to see it get like really wild here. Like I want to see, you know, OG on one side doing post ups and then like, next possession down, you have Pascal on the other side, like get funky with it.
Yeah. That's great actually, chaos. Yeah. Right now they have, I think Scotty with the post ups, it should be like, they should use it sparingly, I think. But because there's so much of his game that I think they should explore too. But when it comes to the best post-up players on the team, you have Pascal, and then you have OG, whose post-up game has just kind of flourished this season as well. Mm-hmm. So the post-up is like is a reliable form of half-court offense that the Raptors need. And I think the issue before was that they only had the pick and roll before between Pascal and somebody else, or they'd have Pascal's post up, which is like, yeah, that's fine, but also you need things to vary up the half court offense, and they have that now. They have Scotty who can pass like Draymond Green in the half court, so you know they have I was telling people, don't be surprised if it turns out, like, it's early in the season now, but don't be surprised if the offense turns out better than last season.
It very well should over the course of time, definitely. And I'm it's exciting to see Scotty, this his understanding of where his advantages are. Like, I think he's like third or fourth in the NBA right now in putbacks, because he knows this is something that I can do. And then when he gets a smaller player on him, he's not afraid. That he's like, all right, this is me. This is what I do. I know that I can post up a 6'5" player, right? He was doing it to Luka the other day, the game before it was KCP. When he sees those advantages, he's willing to, you know, make the most of it and to pursue it and to, and he's finishing, which is a really nice thing to see. He doesn't have a lot of post moves, but he's got a couple of staples that are working for him. So that is great to see. It's all very positive right now. Funny at this point, maybe last week, we're just like, ugh.
What's going on?
Yeah, but now we're just like, okay, I'm seeing what Nick Nurse is doing. The mad scientist is making it happen, and here we are now. The Raptors, they're entering a critical stretch of their season. They got the Knicks on Monday, which would be really interesting. Maybe Pascal is back by then. Maybe. Who knows? But that would be pretty damn cool. Any other thoughts, Yasmin, or are we just sailing off into this Halloween weekend here?
Yeah, I think we sail off. I think I said everything that can be said about this version that we're seeing of the team. And yeah, the next game on Monday is going to be very interesting. That's a home game, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. I got to make sure I go to that one.
There you go. So you enjoy that. Enjoy your Halloween weekend. What's your favorite kind of candy?
My favorite candy, it would have to be, oh God, I'm like a candy connoisseur. It would probably be like, I like sour candies. Anything by Maynard's that is sour, I will eat. Okay. So Sour Patch Kids, those sour cherry blasters, fuzzy peaches, anything like that. That is, you know, it's halal. So all the Muslim kids liked Maynard's candy growing up. No gelatin. But yeah, that was my thing all the time. Like I don't have as much of a sweet tooth now, because like I'll eat candy once and I'll get a cavity now. Like that's what in your late 20s is.
Welcome to your early 30s where you get heartburn from chocolate. But I still do it. I still do it. And my favorite is Smarties and cookies and cream Hershey's. Those are my two. Those are my guys. Yeah, I will be having lots of those.
Simple,
this yeah. Yeah, I'm a simple man. Simple man. That's all I really need is those two things, and I'm good to go. Yasmin, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for listening to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Dishes and Dimes on Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday episode of Dishes and Dimes. Just remember, it's Halloween weekend, so I'm going to try and make it spooky.
Just like Sam Decker did back there, right?
Yes. Ooh, the Sam Decker octopus here. I'll wear cat ears, make it festive.
Beautiful. I won't be dressing up, but I'll be with you in spirit. So enjoy yourselves, everyone. Have a good weekend. Be safe and all that. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price, and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.